believe in what you say.
Yes, that's a hypocrisy.
That's hypocrisy, exactly. Right. And you draw a good conclusion, a correct one. Mm. To say God is great, but begging U.S. government to help you out.
Help you out.
I mean, that's hypocrisy.
Not quite the same.
First of all,
the claim has to be genuine.
You have to back it with your action.
Yes.
You have to sacrifice for it. You have to struggle for it.
Yes.
And then again, the story goes on. Yes. Imam Khomeini's personality of this kind.
Yes.
A divine man.
That's right. And it, because divine, meaning that he's the one who's actually waking us up to the fact that the reality is Allahu Akbar, but he himself is living every moment and every breath of his life to be with that Allahu Akbar. So in that sense, when he was saying neither east nor west,
he meant it.
He meant it.
And he did a stick behind
it. And Washington and Moscow, they also got the message that he really means it. Because the others were also saying, you know, we have the non-aligned movement. We've even got the summit happening at this very moment. What's the non-aligned movement? And that was the kind of thing that we're away from all these superpowers. But is that the reality?
You have to give them credit, the media, the Western media. I have to give them this, you know. Yeah. I remember back then.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 30-some years ago.
Sure.
They were talking about Imam Khomeini. I don't remember exactly. It was Newsweek or something. You know, explaining Imam Khomeini.
Yeah.
What kind of personality he is. What kind of influence he had over people because of the belief.
Yeah.
You know what they said about him? Mm. He said, Khomeini is a person that his word is law. Think about that.
Yeah.
And that law, that validity comes from the source. Remember in one program we were talking about the source?
Sure.
The pure source.
Yeah.
The pure source is Quran, Quranic teaching.
Yes.
He knew Quran. He believed in Quran.
Quran. Yes.
He acted upon it.
Yes. Yes. I was going to put it in the sense that, you know, in the 50s and 60s, you know, the non-aligned movement was about as non-aligned as, you know, a skewed line drawn on a paper.
As good as it could get.
But in this context, you know, with this summit happening in Tehran, it bears witness to this great personality's effect that really and truly they've got to be neither east nor west. And they're waking up to that fact. So that we're having this in the context now where people are beginning to see that there has to be some kind of alternative reality in the face of what we've been seeing since the beginning of the 20th century.
That is true. Let me explain another concept. We keep saying divine man.
Yes.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
The way I see Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him,
sure,
is from the understanding of Quran. Mm-hmm. Remember at the beginning of the creation?
Sure.
God told all the angels, and by the way, Satan was not part of the angel.
No.
He was among them.
He was among them.
Okay.
He was an archangel by definition.
Exactly. Mm. So God is telling all the angels, you know, to begin. Say, look, I am going, listen to the word carefully.
Sure.
You have to be careful when you do a research, when you do a study, when you do a real thinking. Mm. You have to give the word its own value.
Yeah.
You don't have to distort it.
No.
You don't have to go astray. You have to carefully study the word.
Yeah.
God told him, I am putting.
You have to be precise about it.
You have to be precise about it. Especially when it comes to Quranic understanding.
Sure, sure.
He says something to the fact that inni mushuli I, God is speaking, inni ja'ilun fil arzi khalifa. I am putting, not I am going. He didn't say ja'altu or aj'alu. Ja'ilun. For those brothers and sisters who are familiar with the Arabic word, it tells you a news that's something I'm doing right now, and I'm going to continue constantly.
Constantly.
I am putting a khalifa on the planet. Khalifa means successor.
Successor.
Having said this, well, the angels, in my opinion, you know, this is a very delicate and sensitive issue when you talk about commentary on Quran.
Yes.
But to study these words, when they question, not in a negative way. They want to know.
Well, yeah.
When they question, why are you putting somebody on earth that constantly is going to commit bloodshed.
And bloodshed.
Sin and corruption.
Corruption.
But if they listen carefully, they wouldn't phrase this question this way, oui. Brother Ejaz.
Yes.
They would say it differently.
Hmm.
Because God didn't say, I'm going to put somebody.
No.
Some kind of human or whatever the name might be. Hmm. He said, I am putting a successor. Listen to the word, Khalifa.
Yes.
Deputy.
Deputy.
Deputy. Hmm. When you deputize something, what he's supposed to do? Does the same thing that?
God wants him to do.
Having said that, in order to understand Quran is more than 6,000 different verses. You have to put them in a collective way, in a comprehensive way, in a broad way, in a general. You have to put all the pieces together. This is what tadabbur, real deep understanding of Quran suggests to do that.
Yes,
in order to put them in perspective, later on in chapter Ar-Rahman, describing himself, God, remember that. He says, "Kulli yawmin huwa fi shan." Every, and yawm doesn't mean the 24-hour cycle.
No, no.
It doesn't mean the daylight.
No.
Kulli yawm in Arabic, it means any moment.
Any moment.
Any given moment of time.
Time.
Any moment, him, the same God,
sure.
The only one.
Sure.
Huwa fi shan, and he's doing something important.
My God.
Shan. Shan is not any kind of job. Again, this is very important. Yes. I have to repeat this.
Sure.
Then I have to emphasize, I have to underline, I have to, because I'm trying to draw
underscore
a conclusion,
yeah.
To understand.
Yeah.
Okay? Kulli yawman huwa fi shan. Any given moment, he, Allah, is doing something important, something worth of, talking.
My goodness.
So, what the Khalifa is supposed to do? What the successor is supposed to do?
And exactly
what's
God
the
wants.
Relevant understanding of this with the life of Imam Khomeini?
Exactly.
Peace be on him.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Is this. That when you say divine, you're not something in vacuum.
No.
You're not talking about something imaginary.
No.
You're not saying something, to feel good.
Yeah.
No. You say that he was caring about the entire mankind. When he says no east, no west, he was doing something important. When he was telling us.
Because mankind needs a guide.
But mankind needs to be guided. To be guided on a constant basis. So kulli yawmin, as a successor, as a deputy, as somebody noble,
and
I can use so many different criteria.
And only a true successor is going to enable us to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was doing something important.
Sure.
You know, when that Salman Rushdie incident happened,
he did
something important.
Mm.
You know, something very important according to true do's and don'ts of Islam. Because he knew Islam.
Exactly.
He studied Islam.
Yes.
He did his own research. He did his homework.
Yeah.
He did his duty. He was Imam before. I said this before, and I have to say it again. He was Imam even during the 15 of Khordad, even though we didn't call him Imam.
Yes.
And the society had to go through different phases in order
to understand acknowledge this
who's
reality.
Who.
Yeah.
To understand who's the friend, who's
sure,
not.
Sure.
Okay? And this is what we're talking about. Divine man. Yes,
divine,
he was.
Yes.
Indeed, he was.
Was.
You know,
because
there is a famous saying of Imam Khomeini.
Yes, I was going to get to that.
He's doing good as far as the leadership of the Islamic Republic for us.
Yes. But he says that the revolution can't be understood
without the name of Khomeini.
Imam Khomeini.
He means it. Because he was it. To give him the credit of Imam Khomeini, okay, that's another subject.
Yes.
But hey, another way to see the great people, look what kind of students they have.
They have.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you bring me back to that beautiful moment in the school of Ahlul Bayt where Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam was met by a very competent scholar from the Muslim world who had questions, and he wanted to pose them to the Imam, but the Imam said, not that he was refusing his questions.
No need to.
He just simply said, please ask my students.
Exactly.
And if they don't satisfy you, then
you
come
can
and
come
see,
to me.
See me.
And Imam Khomeini says something very valuable, precious, important, and significant with regard to the personality, the great personality of Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him.
Yes.
He said that this revolution, meaning the Islamic revolution of Iran, is not known in the entire globe without the name of Khomeini.
Yes, absolutely. And
that's true. And we can talk about this again.
So thanks very much for that, Dr. Hassani. Honestly, on that note, we'll finish this session. And hopefully in the next session, we're going to look at the context of Iran, particularly in terms of its region, in terms of globally.
We have to get to more issues.
More issues. And then look at, you know, again, this divine personality, how he has really impacted on the complete reversal of the role that Iran had in the past as opposed to what it is today. But thanks, listeners, for listening to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. I hope you enjoyed it, this session today.
And it still is.
And still is, as Dr. Hassani says. But I want to thank him for this session and for his valuable contribution on the program. And God willing, we'll see you in the next session very soon. May the peace and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Returns to Alcamp Riderless.
Azor Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Mu'tamadi wa Rajai.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam Al Hussein.
For ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous program, we concluded that the pronoun kum iterated in this verse, عَنْ مَرَاتِبِكُمُ الَّتِي رَتَّبَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا, is referring to the Ahlul Bayt, and whatever transpired on Imam Hussein alayhi salam also transpired on the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. That's why we have different traditions from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the Ahlul Bayt using the pronoun na in order to make us understand that the calamity has been grave for them all. Rather, whatever transpired on the Ahlul Bayt also transpired on their true followers as well. They expressed their sorrow or happiness according to the sorrow and happiness of their masters. In a tradition about the true followers of Ahlul Bayt, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is reported to have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى اِطَّلَعَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ فَاخْتَارَنَا. Indeed, Allah, the abundantly gracious and the exalted, inspected the earth and selected us. وَاخْتَارَ لَنَا شِيعَةً يَنْصُرُونَنَا. And He chose for us followers who help us. وَيَفْرَحُونَ لِفَرَحِنَا وَيَحْزَنُونَ لِحُزْنِنَا. And they get happy due to our happiness, and they get sad due to our sadness. وَيَبْذُلُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَنفُسَهُمْ فِينَا أُولَئِكَ مِنَّا وَإِلَيْنَا. They spend their wealth, they sacrifice themselves in our way, and these are the ones who are from us, and they get close to us. Brothers and sisters, we are done with this part of the ziyarah, but before we move on to the next verse, we have some points to mention. The first point is regarding the first part of this verse. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً. May Allah expel from His mercy the community, or ummah. You have realized earlier the broad meaning and connotation of the word ummah, which means a group of people united together due to a common thing in them. And this invoking curse is not limited to the fundamental oppressors. Rather, all those who succeeded them in usurping the rights of the political leadership of the Islamic government or somehow hit their spiritual stations are also worthy of being cursed. The Abbasiyun, for example, whose entire history is full of oppression, full of injustice against the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, cannot be excluded. All of them, without exception, oppressed the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They usurped their rights.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When Ma'mun, for example, with his ruse and trick, tried to coerce Imam Ridha alayhi salam to accept the caliphate, the Imam alayhi salam, presenting a beautiful reasoning, rejected the same. Shaykh al-Saduq, in his Amali, narrates the conversation between Imam Ridha and Ma'mun and says, "So Ma'mun said to Imam alayhi salam, 'Surely I thought that I should remove myself from the caliphate and give it to you and pay my oath of allegiance to you.' Thereupon Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, 'If the caliphate belongs to you and Allah made it for you, then it is not permissible that you remove the apparel that Allah has made you to wear and render it for other than yourself. And if the caliphate does not belong to you, then you are not allowed to give me what is not your property.' Ma'mun, irritated by Imam's sharp-witted response, said, 'O son of the Messenger of Allah, you must agree to this matter.' And Imam alayhi salam said, 'I will never do that obediently.'" Another example worthy of consideration is that of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. Harun al-Rashid informed Imam alayhi salam that he is ready to return the land of Fadak to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Thereupon, Imam Kazim alayhi salam told him that he would not accept it save with all its boundaries. Imam alayhi salam said, "The first boundary is Eden. The second boundary is Samarkand. The third boundary is Africa. And the fourth boundary is the ocean, and whatever is beyond the Caspian Sea and Armenia." History reads that the color of the face of Harun al-Rashid was changed by each of these boundaries mentioned by the Imam. And at the end he said, فَلَمْ يَبْقَ لَنَا شَيْءٍ. He said, "Therefore nothing remains for us." So all of these are subject to the la'n that we are expressing in the Ziyaratul Ashura. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
The Light.
Iceland is not unfamiliar with volcanoes, but one that has gone on for more than 6 months is surprising even for the volcanic Scandinavian nation. Hot lava has been spewing out of craters near Iceland's capital Reykjavik since March 19th. Scientists say there is no sign that the eruptions will end anytime soon. Almost 143 million cubic meters of lava has been discharged so far, creating spectacular scenes. More than 300,000 people have visited the site of the eruptions. The field has been named the Beautiful Valley of Lava. Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding, sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Farr, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and his smaller it is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of a deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degree, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degree is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Programme, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started the project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built to our specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier. Small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
A caiman and a local tour guide in Bolivia's Amazon region have formed an unlikely friendship with bond going viral on the internet. Although people are warned to stay away from caimans, Alejandro Gil has struck up a friendship with one special reptile named Jesus. Despite the caiman's carnivorous nature, it shakes his tail and allows Gil to pat it on the head after being fed. At 4 meters long, Gil, however, admits that getting close to Jesus does still make him nervous.
My knees shake when I work with Jesus. I'm always scared and very careful, and also respectful to tourists. Guides in the Pampa de Yacuma and across Bolivia consult with tourists before undertaking an activity. If they agree with it, then we do it. If one person is not in agreement with an activity, then we don't do it.
Gil says they are only able to get in touch with a caiman in a dry season when the river is at low water levels. They lose the reptile in January when the river rises. Caimans inhabit Mexico, Central and Northern South America, from marshes and swamps to mangrove rivers and lakes. Their diet consists of a great deal of fish, but caimans also hunt insects, birds, and small mammals and reptiles. A new initiative has been launched to turn the spotlight on the misery of Syrian refugee children. Little Amal, a giant puppet depicting a young Syrian refugee child, has arrived in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. This 3.5 meter tall puppet has traveled all the way from Syria to Turkey, Greece, and Italy. It will then go to France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, and the UK to focus attention and the urgent needs of young refugees. Syrian refugees, especially children, are in a dire situation after being driven from their homes due to the conflict in their country. Archaeologists have discovered the largest ever bronze mask in an archaeological site in China's southwest Sichuan province.
This is a large bronze mask we unearthed from the central park of the number 3 ritual pit. The widest part, from one tip of ear to the other, is 136 centimeters, and the height is around 75 centimeters. It can be regarded as the largest bronze mask unearthed in Sanjingdui, and even the largest in the Shang and the Shu dynasties.
The mask was found together with other cultural objects, such as ivory and bronzeware. These items needed to be removed first before handling the mask, which made the extraction process complicated. Restoration work is underway on the largest bronze mask taken from the site. The relic is believed to be thousands of years old, dating back to the Shu period. The site is an archaeological treasure mine belonging to the Bronze Age of over 4,000 years ago. The area was first discovered in China in the late 1920s.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. In the previous episode, we started talking about financial corruption and how it affects the rights of people. And we said there are main types of financial corruption, and we spoke about one. And I'd like to speak about a few more as well, just so the picture becomes more clearer. Amongst the types of corruptions, when it comes to financial corruption, is in fact bribery. And bribery is a type of corruption where a person or an organization pays an amount of money to another person or organization to take a right that's not his, or to, you know, get away from something that he should do. To make this more clear, to give you an example, for if you want to get, let's say for argument's sake, if you want to get a passport or you want to get a driver's license or something of that sort, and then you know, for example, you don't have the requirements to get such a thing, what you end up doing is paying a worker, an administrative worker, you pay him off and then he get it for you. And I've seen this with my own eyes per se, and then you get it done. So you basically took a right that is not yours. You shouldn't be doing this. On the other hand, you have people, for example, who have to perform a certain duty to the community or to the country. For example, a person has to go to, you know, to the army. In many countries it's compulsory to go to the army. So what they end up doing is they end up paying, like, you know what, I'll give you this amount of money and exclude me from the army, for example. And this is just an example to make it, you know, easy to understand what bribery is. So if I pay to get something done or to, you know, relieve myself of something that I should have been doing, then this is a type of what? Corruption. And when we talk about bribery, it always happens the fact that there are two people involved. So there's the person who pays the bribery, and there's a person who receives the bribery. And sometimes, and this happens a lot, you have a third person involved. You have the middleman involved. So sometimes I don't have connection with the person in this department. So what I end up doing, I go to a person who knows that person. So I pay to that person for his services, and I pay the bribe to that officer through that middleman. So sometimes it takes one person, sometimes it takes two people, or sometimes it could be more, depending on how desperate you are to get what you want to get. And this kind of bribery, sometimes it's very easy to catch and very easy to put the finger on in countries where they have a monitoring system, where the government, for example, or the department monitors their workers, and they monitor the work, and they monitor everything else, what goes in, what goes outside, what's being done, what's not being done. Sometimes it's easy to find those people and catch them. But in countries where it is pretty much chaotic and lawless, or the law itself, you know, it could be bent and mended depending on the person sitting behind the chair, then these kind of things will obviously go unnoticed. And it becomes, not just unnoticed, it becomes a problem. That it becomes a very known problem that this department, for example, will not do this thing for you, or this contract, for example, unless you pay. And everyone is okay with it. They're, obviously, the law is not asking anyone, they're not making it a crime, so everyone gets away with it. Now, stay with us, and we come back after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to the program For Humanity. So as we said, when we talk about bribery, sometimes you have people who work in the government themselves. They take bribes, and they accept bribes from people. For example, if a police officer pulls you over for speeding, and you live in a country where, you know, it's things like this happens, and then you pay him off and you go. That creates a sense of lawlessness. And not only that, but it makes you feel that you're above the law. Not just that, it makes you feel that I could speed at any time I want. And God forbid, one of these times that you're speeding, you could end up killing someone and taking their right away, or taking their life away to begin with. So if we have this kind of corruption happening, then we should be expecting, or we should expect all sorts of corruption to happen. And especially when the society that we live in find it to become the norm, something very normal to indulge in. And I've seen this in some of the countries that I went to. They said to me, well, if you want to get it done quicker, just pay. I said, no, I'm not paying anyone. He's supposed to be doing his job. And they say to me, in this case, good luck getting it done. Because the people themselves, the administrators, the workers themselves, they say, well, you want to get this done, right? Sure. You're not willing to pay for it? Sure. Well, we will delay you. We will make it almost impossible for you to get it. Even if your paperwork is up to date, even if your paperwork is all done and all correct and you have all the required documents, they say, we won't do it. You know, come back tomorrow, come back next week. And they just don't do it. You get forced to pay someone, to pay a bribe, in order to get your application, for example, done, or whatever you're seeking, getting it approved, by forcing you to do what? To pay a bribery. So, and this is a problem for so many societies, be it civilized societies or be it non-civilized societies. I mean non-civilized in the sense of their political system is corrupted. When it comes to the law enforcement is corrupted, then really there is no much civilization happening there, is it? When you cannot get anything done unless you have to pay with your all your savings, then that's a problem, that this is not civilization. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, sometimes me and you as a human beings, we also feel the need to get things done quicker, get things done to our advantage, and we say, you know what, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm just paying someone to do it quicker for me. Yeah, well, that's the thing. This is what bribery is. Paying to get something done that you shouldn't have paid. You should have just waited like anyone else, wait in line, and wait for your turn. But when you try to speed up the process or get something or gain something quick through paying someone off, then this is a bribery. And bribery in Islam is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in the hadith, he cursed the one who does bribery, the one who accepts bribery, and the one who receives bribery, and the one who sees it and does nothing about it. These people are cursed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So not only the fact that it's caused corruption in the society, it's actually a haram act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will punish those who indulge themselves or those who practice the act of bribery. For whatever reason that you might think of, it's still haram. You cannot justify it for yourself or you cannot justify it for anyone else. We'll leave it up to here and then we continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلي يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين وعلى آل النبي أجمعين فبهم نرجوك أحسن ختمنا.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing. I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems and issues parents face when raising their children in an Islamic way. As usual, all of our answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Prophet and his household, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker and dear friend, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Today's topic is what we should look out for when we want to fix the problems our children are having. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. It is very important when we try to look at the behavior of a child that we put some things into consideration and some value points before we try to do anything. So the problem itself needs to be valued. It needs to be considered. Is it normal for a child to do this kind of behavior? Right. Is it suitable for his age? Is it something that requires, for example, I don't know,
Fixing,
or does it require medication? Does it require? So these things need to take into mind. So the first thing that needs to stay in the mind of the parent is that, is the problem suitable?
Was it an
to the
actual
age
problem
of the child? Yeah. So sometimes the child might do a problem that's suitable for his age and his gender. For example, they say for kids who wet the beds from two to five, it's normal.
Right.
It's normal for a child to be from the age of 2 to 5 to still continue with the beds. But, so for example, 6 and above, it's not normal for a child who is 10-year-old to be wetting his bed. So we say, well, there's a problem that does not suit the age. So this is a problem that, something that we need to look at. So if one is not sure, for example, a child makes a mistake.
Right.
And you're not sure, is it suitable for his age to be doing such an action?
Right. Or,
because sometimes kids get more mature than their age. And you say, well, is it normal for him to be doing such things or not? If you're not sure, obviously, you need to refer to the people of experts.
Right.
Not psychologists, I don't know.
Your own parents may be asking about their experiences.
Yeah, ask those
people who are experienced, knowledgeable.
Yeah. You can even Google it for the sake of knowing. So
right.
There's a lot of things you can do to find out whether the problem that your child is making is suitable for his age and also suitable for his gender or not.
So that's the first step, right?
That's the first thing that we need to consider when it comes to trying to diagnose or trying to fix a problem.
Right.
Also, the second thing is that when a child does there's a problem, we need to see, is it something that the child has made a habit of? It's like, did it become part of who he is?
Right.
Or is this something new to him?
Just a one-off.
Something, yeah. So, for example, a child who is always quiet and nice, and all of a sudden he becomes aggressive and shouting and yelling and fighting. Well,
right.
So you say, well, he wasn't like this before. He's always been quiet. So something must have triggered him to change his behavior.
Of course.
Not only you have to look at the fact whether it's suitable for his age, you have to see if it's external or is it, you know, no, that's how he is. That's how he's always loud, for example.
Right.
And if he's always loud and all of a sudden he goes quiet,
you know something is wrong.
Then something is wrong as well.
So you have to read the signs when it comes to the kids and how they act, right? When it comes to diagnosing their behavior.
And on that note, we will take a quick break.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Dear listeners, welcome back. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing what steps we should take before trying to solve the issue. Dear Sayyid, please continue.
All right, so we go to the third point, is that parents should